Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So here it is, the first day of the week after Easter. And Jesus' disciples were gathered up in the room where they were accustomed to meet, and they were afraid. I mean, think about what had happened to them. In the week before and that weekend before, their whole world had changed. Jesus, who was their leader and their friend, Son of God, the vessel of their hopes and dreams for a new world, had been arrested, beaten, imprisoned, and put on a cross to die. And so there they are, in that room that day when suddenly Jesus appears. He appears among them, and the very first thing, just 15 minutes after it seems that he dies, he appears to them and he says to them, "Peace be with you." All of the chaos that had been crashing around, sort of like our exchange in the hymnals this morning. A little chaos. That's good in church. Chaos is good. After all of that chaos, suddenly Jesus comes to them and says, "Oh, peace be with you. Irene hemi." Now, being good church people, we know those words. And we do them every Sunday. And we're so nice about it, right? "The peace of the Lord be with you, and also with you." In that fashion. But when Jesus says this to these disciples, remember, they didn't just come out from Punahou Street and a nice breakfast at Duke's. They came, either to die, but they came from chaos. And suddenly Jesus says to them, "Irene hemi." Now we translate that, may the peace be with you. But there's no verb. So it isn't, "May the peace be with you." It is almost hortatory. One of my professors used to interpret those words to me to be, he was kind of a cool guy, "Peace out, man." Peace out. So it's not just our little greeting that we've domesticated. He's saying to them, in the midst of chaos and death, in the midst of your fear and anxiety, peace out. Know the love of God. Know I am with you. Now, it's almost a crazy kind of command for God's people who have seen what they have seen and done what they have done. Remember, Peter ran away when they confronted him. Everyone left Jesus at the cross, depending on which gospel. And here comes Jesus. Peace out. And not only that, but I have something for you to do. They've just been through this stuff. And Jesus, not only does he show up, he gives them a job. It's just like church. He says, "The sins of any that you forgive are from this day forward forgiven. And the sins that you retain are retained. Have peace and give that peace away." Peace out. Not just in. So already, each of us, every one of us, every disciple has on the first day of the week after Jesus has risen from the grave been given a job to do. To share the peace of Christ in the whole world. Amidst all of our anxiety and anger and unhappiness, amidst change for things that we don't necessarily understand, God says to us again and again, and Jesus breathes Jesus' peace on us and says, go out into the world and share it. But poor Thomas missed it, right? He was getting bagels. And he missed it. And so Thomas shows up, and they're telling him this incredible tale about how Jesus, who was raised from the dead, suddenly has appeared to them and given them a job to do. And Thomas, like so many of us probably would do, says, I don't believe it. If I don't see it, I won't believe it. Now, we've come to call this story Doubting Thomas. But there is no word in Greek for doubt. It's just no faith. No trust is really what the word comes down to. He doesn't trust that the words of the witnesses are true. He doesn't trust, I guess, that the job which Christ has given him is his to do. Until I see the marks in his hands and put my hand in the mark in his side, I will not believe. You can call it Alpha and Omega or whatever you want to do. Until I see it, I'm not going to believe. And how often are we like that? How often do we also wonder if the gift of ministry which has been given to us, the peace that's been breathed on us, is ours? And if we believe it is ours, can we possibly believe that we should give it away? You see, you are God's living breath. Right here in this place, I would guess there are as many Thomases who are afraid to trust as there are those who give themselves wholeheartedly and foolishly to the mission of Jesus Christ. Trusting is hard. I found that out already in my first week. I think it was my first day. You see, God has left God's body in this place and marked God's mark on your brow to send you out into the world to proclaim that peace. Not only to one another, which is that mutual upholding that happens in that room that day and with Thomas. When Jesus says, Thomas, here I am, when Jesus says to Thomas, here I am, look, do you believe because I'm standing here, or do you believe because of the word? Jesus sends you and I out to do an almost impossible task. To say to a world that has no peace, peace out, peace be with you, and really mean it, and really live it. To share it with authenticity, and power, and grace. But the call is no less than that. If Jesus is going to appear in the cloud and come down, as it says in Revelation, and the new Jerusalem is to be built, it will be built with hands that look like yours. It will be spoken with your mouth. And the journey will be walked with your feet. You are the body. We will send you out from this place with song and singing and fed with good food and fine wine, and we will send you out with the same job that Jesus gave the disciples that day: to forgive sins, to speak God's word of grace, to share it with your very life. And in that, the Alpha and the Omega, who will come again, lives on. And everyone gets to share in that sweet and powerful grace. You may not see Jesus standing right out there in the courtyard in the typical Augsburg Fortress pose. But you will see Roy, and you will see Cheryl, you will see Michael, and you will see each other. And in you, Christ lives.